Blog Talk Radio.
Happened.
This was a big hurricane. This hurricane was so big that
New Jersey Governor Chris Krispy Kreme got blown almost to New York. It moved him.
This hurricane was so big, he changed his party affiliation, so it would seem. President Obama's great.
That's my dog.
Right. That's my ABC. My A spoon cool.
Now, tonight is definitely open mic night. We're going to talk about a whole lot of things, including the storm. And right now we already have a caller from area code 305. I don't know where area code 305 is, but hopefully the caller knows where they're calling from, area code 305, and can tell us where they're from and what's on their mind. Good evening.
Hello.
Caller.
Hello.
Hi, 305.
Yo, this is Joan Crawford calling from the 305.
Joan Crawford?
Christina, give me the axe. What's up?
Give me the axe. I am not one of your fans.
Okay.
Hey, little TL.
What's that?
I said, hey, little TL, what's happening?
How are you guys tonight, this fine evening?
So the hurricane missed you, huh?
Yes, we were very, 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 very blessed and fortunate. It hit the Caribbean, and then it pretty much bypassed Miami and went on up north. So we were very lucky.
Okay, so let me say something about you people in Miami.
Please do.
I am sick of you nigglets. I am sick of you nigglets in Miami.
Why?
In 2005, I was in Miami. Hurricane Katrina was headed toward Miami and took a turn.
Right.
And watching the news, and everybody in Miami, all the newscasters and the sports and the weathermen, they're high-fiving. Yeah, it missed us. Yeah, it's going to mess up everybody else, but we're good. Yay. Not any concern for the people in the Gulf, in the panhandle. Not, oh, my God, it's such a shame. We're lucky. Like, yeah, they were high-fiving, breakdancing. Spinning on the
well, you know, I'm not like a native Miamian, but I can say that their attitude is probably because they have been hit many times in the past. Miami's pretty much like Hurricane Alley, that when it actually bypasses it, people do celebrate because they just expect to get hit. You know what I mean? So
well,
I'm not saying that's right, but they're probably just
all,
so happy.
Let me correct you. New Orleans is Hurricane Alley. Miami is Mojito Alley. I've spent
Miami
hurricanes.
Like, they don't have that nickname for, you know, no reason. So I'm just saying, you know, I've been here in Miami for a little over 5 years, and we haven't had anything but a little wind and rain. So I feel like I'm like a hurricane blocker because everything has been bypassing us, so I'm good.
Well, then you need to move into my house, because for real.
And my heart does go out to everybody, you know, affected by the storm and all the damage. Just really sad, and, you know, I hope Obama
yeah,
does the same.
Yeah, because you still have friends in Delaware, don't you?
Absolutely. I have friends in Delaware, Maryland, and Pennsylvania. So, you know, a lot of people have been posted on Facebook and stuff, a little damage here and there, but from what I can see, nobody really had anything major happen, which is good.
Well, except in New Jersey, I think they actually moved New Jersey 4 inches closer to New York City.
Say that again?
I think the storm moved New Jersey 4 inches closer to New York.
Yeah. New York got thrown pretty hard, and I think Atlantic City got hit real hard.
Yeah, Atlantic City, New Jersey, they actually got floated down river just a smidge.
Did it take out the Trump Tower while I was in the process?
No, but I did see where it moved Trump's hair.
You know what? And that is an incredible feat to move his hair. Wow.
I am really impressed with Chris Christie, though. I mean, I have to give it to him. He kept it real. He's not making this thing a political thing, and I was really pleased to hear his statement.
giving props to President Obama.
And you and I talked about that. You know, he straight from the hip. He tells you what's what, whether you agree with it or not.
I respect him for that.
About him. So, I was in New York, I don't know, 4 years ago in April when they had this huge rain, nothing like they had, you know, yesterday. And I didn't leave. I went outside and I saw rats just swimming. So I went back in my hotel room and didn't come back out until the next week because I don't do rats. Can you imagine? I mean, that's stuff people don't even talk about. Yeah, you got to clean up, but what about all those rats in New York? Ugh.
Hopefully
they
drown. Hopefully most of them. Can they swim like that?
Yeah, rats swim.
Backstroke.
Oh, God.
That's
they will not butterfly like Michael Phelps.
Rats won't go down with a sinking ship because those suckers can swim.
Well, somebody posted something. I don't know if this was a fake picture or not, but they posted pictures of sharks swimming around in New Jersey. I'm like, what? I guess it's possible because they could
have
been washed in.
They do have sharks,
but
they do have sharks in the Atlantic. So anything.
So
possible.
People are like there's sharks swimming around people's houses. I was like, oh hell no. Oh, can I say hell?
Jaws
took
place on the Atlantic coast. Jaws was on the Atlantic coast, so you know,
that
Hollywood
was up in-
said possible.
I've fished for sharks up in off in the Atlantic Ocean, and I've caught some impressive sized sharks. And I know that in Ocean City, Maryland, probably oh my God, it's probably been like 15 or 20 years ago now. I was at a sporting goods store that's also a taxidermy shop, and a guy had brought in a 6.5-foot great white he caught in Ocean City, Maryland. So, yeah, we got sharks here.
Well, that's reason to evacuate alone right there. That's my other bone I wanted to pick tonight, were these people that were told to evacuate and chose not to. And we kind of touched on this yesterday on one of your posts too, Kamal. It just infuriates me when people just disregard the orders to leave. And then when all hell breaks loose, they're the first ones calling to be rescued.
Right, well, and like I said, some politician needs to say, you know what, too bad, that's your ass. And I know in essence that's what Christie said, but I want those words. You are shit out of luck. That's your ass. Figure it out.
Yeah, it would be nice, but, you know, they can't actually come out and say it, but it would be because they do this mess all the time. And then they put such a strain on rescue workers and everybody else trying to save them. It's just ridiculous.
Well, here's the thing. You know, now certain jurisdictions are making people pay.
Good.
When you do stuff to get you in trouble, now I'm not talking about people who go out boating and there's a sudden storm kicks up and the boat gets capsized and they have to rescue them, or people who are hiking.
No, you're talking about the idiot in camouflage with the American flag and a rifle saying, I dare you to make me leave.
No, I'm actually talking about the people like the man in Florida a couple of years ago that decided he wanted to go parasailing in a hurricane.
Wait.
Had a reporter on the beach interviewing people, and this fool comes blowing through against a building.
Was he really parasailing, or was that the end result of trying to surf?
No,
he literally.
He went up parasailing in the hurricane. You don't remember this? This was big news. He was on Good Morning America or Today Show or whatever because he got.
See, you know what we need? Oh, Darwin.
Exactly. That is just some foolishness. I can't even comment on that because that's just the ultimate in stupidity. But you have people that it's like they want to like show the hurricane who's boss or something.
Right.
No,
like
the one lone idiot
off the coast of Maryland yesterday or Delaware that was surfing.
Stuff like that. It's like, okay, you're just asking, you know, I hate to say it, but whatever happens, happens. I mean, I don't want to be insensitive.
You know what?
But, I mean, that's just stupid. I mean, really.
That's your ass.
kite surfer. Yeah, Hurricane Storm Faye. It's 4 years ago. This fool decided that he was going to kite surf during Tropical Storm Faye. And they had the reporter. You know, and I always believe it. I know people who actually are television reporters. No one has admitted this to me yet, but I believe whoever's low person on the totem pole or did something wrong has to be the one that goes down to report from the beach when the hurricanes are hitting. But there was a reporter reporting on the storm, and this fool came blowing through. Jacked up. He almost died. And if I'm not mistaken, it wasn't his first incident. It wasn't his first rodeo.
Oh, I can't
but
even handle
that. The people I'm talking about, that, you know, oh, okay, I'll go do this and I'll do that. And boom, you know, next thing you know, they're jacked up. And then someone has to pay for that.
Exactly. And I understand people that live around water and they go through this every year. It does get old. There's so many false alarms or, you know, whatever. They feel like, oh, they say this every time it's gonna, and nothing happens, and they go through all this rigmarole for nothing. But, I mean, that's just the way it is, you know. Like, you can't pick and choose, you know, when you're going to evacuate because you just never know. That's the whole thing. Like, with hurricanes, you never know what's going to happen. So even though it might be a pain to have
to
evacuate,
have to
and you just got thank you. That's what I'm saying.
Well, here, okay, so let's talk about
probably
that.
Probably on the first bus smoking.
Let's talk about that for a second. Let's talk about Katrina and the people in New Orleans who didn't leave because even though they were told Katrina was coming, they hadn't had a storm that bad in 40 years, and they had evacuation orders, always get evacuation orders for hurricanes, and people – you know, newbies and visiting, he'll leave. And then after a while, you get desensitized to it. Like, I ain't going nowhere. What? Child, please.
Exactly.
It ain't going
to
be that.
Right, but they didn't say it was they didn't say, oh, well, this is going to be a Cat 1. They were like, this is getting ready to F you up.
Yes, they did for Katrina. But people, I'm telling you, people who lived in New Orleans all their lives didn't pay heed because they've gotten those warnings before. It turned out to be nothing. And you know, I'm a frequent visitor to the Crescent City, and I had a cousin who was living down there at the time. He had been down there for a few years, maybe 3 years, and the first couple of times he got warnings, he jetted up and got out and came home and then came back. It was nothing. And it just so happened that when Katrina was hitting, or about to hit, he had already decided to move back to Maryland and had packed up everything and was having a going-away party. And the people who really knew told him this was going to be bad, and he said, and they didn't come to his party, so he said, well, I'm just going to go home with what I have in my car, and I'll come back and get the rest of my stuff. And I think he said he was as far as Alabama when he got the word that what really happened, you know, what was really happening was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back to New Orleans, and everything he owned that he left down there was gone, was wiped out.
That's sad.
Yeah, my girlfriend lost everything, but she's got elderly parents. She got out. She was like, and this had been, you know, like the third or fourth one in the past couple of years where, you know, they said, what you're talking about? You know, it wasn't that bad. But she was always relieved that she got her parents out of, you know, the way, even though it wasn't as strong as they thought it was going to be. So for Katrina, she was like, you know what, I'm getting the old folks out of here. I'll catch you on the flip side. And my girl was in Houston before I could blink.
Yep.
And you lost literally everything. And as scary as I am, you know, yeah, I would get annoyed. I would get tired. But I got kids. Mm-mm. I'm out. I'll see y'all in Houston. Or Derrida, or Chicago, but I'm out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and you have to understand that there are people like us who say, oh, they're telling us to leave, then we should go. And then there are people, and let's just call it, I mean, this is our show, I don't say what I want to say, there are white people who say, oh, they're telling us to leave, break out the surfboards. Because it's about to be high tide, dude. And they go out. And
understand. I mean, I understand on some level. I grew up in California. If the earthquake isn't over five and a half, I'm just like, whatever. You know, I mean, of course, you can't prepare for an earthquake, but, you know, I understand the nonchalantness about it.
Yeah.
But I'm still
I understand it, too. But even they kept saying about, what's this? Sandy. I couldn't think of her name.
Yeah.
How bad it was going to be. And, I mean, they just kept stressing it was going to be a monster storm.
A couple of these mayors actually provided transportation so you could get your ass out.
Exactly. This one dude in Long Island was like, I'm not going anywhere unless they declare martial law. And like I said, at this point, the water was already up above his knees, and the worst of the storm hadn't even hit yet. So I'm just looking at him like, okay, then you're just a fool. Because if the water is already up past your knees and the worst hasn't even come and you're still refusing to leave, then there's nothing I can do for you. There's nothing anybody can do for you because you're just stupid.
Well,
right, and what are you protecting? At that point, you know your house is just gone or getting ready to be gone. So what are you protecting?
Exactly. That's what I can't figure out. I don't understand that kind of mindset.
When I was in New Orleans in, I think it was 2000 or 2001, I did something I hadn't done before, which was go on a swamp tour. I'd never done the swamp tours, and I still have yet to do a haunted house tour, haunted mansion tour. I want to do that when I go back next time. But you go on a swamp tour, you get on a transportation bus, like a little charter bus, and they drive you, and it's like an hour and a half drive, okay? And the driver was very entertaining, and his deal was telling us about why we're seeing these houses on stilts. And he said, you know, my house is on a stilt. And I've already told the old lady that one day a storm is going to come and it's going to wash New Orleans right out here into the Gulf. And when they give me that warning, I'm going to go because ain't nothing worth my life. And we all laugh at these things all the time. And these people thought they were prepared. That's different. When someone says, well, I'm not going because my house is on stilts and I've been through, you know, 40s a year for the last 30 years and still nothing. But then, like you said, the person who sees the news and sees the evacuation trucks and sees that this is going to be big, and I'll be the first one to admit, I kept saying, it can't get as bad as they're making it out to be because, again, I've been in New Orleans doing Cat 1s and that's like a long-lasting thunderstorm. It's not that big.
Right.
But when you go out of your way to go do something stupid during the storm, that's when you should get a letter from your local police department or mayor or governor with a big kiss sign on it saying, goodbye.
Seriously.
I remember in the late 70s when Mount St. Helens went up. And there was a man.
That was 1980.
Was it 80 or was it 79?
No, it was 80.
Okay. Well, there was a man that lived on the side of the mountain. And he had a name. I can't remember his name, but he had a name like a former president. It might have been Harry Truman or something. He had... Anyways, old guy, lived on the mountain all his life, and they told him that it was going to erupt, and he said, it can erupt all at once. I ain't leaving. And they pleaded with this man. They kept sending news crews to his house saying, you know, you don't have any time. He's like, I ain't going nowhere. I lived on this mountain all my life. And then after everything was over, they went back to the hole that used to be his property.
Right, he died on the mountain. And I've been on the mountain.
I think he got blown off the mountain. I don't think he died on that mountain. He may have died about 400 feet above that mountain.
I've been to the mountain, and stuff still hasn't grown back. You go there, and you just see, you can still see animal carcasses and trees, and just, I mean, it's like the earth was salted. There are places that nothing is growing back, and I don't think it ever will. I mean, you know, that thing hadn't blown in like 10,000 years. When they say leave,
it's just like in the scary movies when the ghost says, get out. You know, like they said, black folks, we leave. Most of us, we bounce. It's like, okay, the ghost's going to tell us twice. But some people want to stick around and you know, ride it out with the ghost. Not me. Yeah. I'm not ever going to do it.
And that's why whenever I see a movie like that and they got a black person that stays, I know the movie is not done well. It's not going to be real.
Yeah, Mount St. Helens was making some noise in 2004, I think. And, you know, I'm not close enough to get hit by a lava ball, but that's how I was acting. I was like, okay, this is the evacuation point. This is where we're going to meet if we get separated. I have water for 17 days. I wasn't playing.
For gas masks
and stuff.
Gosh, gas masks.
Girl, yeah, because that air is toxic, and you can get a gas mask at the Army Salvation store for like $11.
Oh, wow. Well, luckily,
yeah,
there aren't any volcanoes as far as I know.
Oh, work, but they're $11, so why not get two?
Why not?
What color do these come in? Do you have this in a puce?
Well, actually, the one I own is pink camouflage.
See, this is. I knew.
That sounds dope.
See, here we go.
It is.
Here we go.
You could rock that with an outfit, like not even
right.
For a
you know what?
Volcano
when
eruption,
I was running,
just on a night out.
Right. When I was running from the police during WTL, I was stylish.
347-205-97 Can a brother get a caller to help me with women, please?
Well, this is something that, like, for people that can't really relate to the whole natural disaster thing, think of it as like unprotected sex. You know, you have unprotected sex, you take your chance over and over and over again, and nothing happens. But then you get complacent or whatever, and the next thing you know, somebody gets knocked up. It's the same thing. It's like you just can't ever.
Or it's a venereal disease.
Well, yeah, that too. You just can't ever get complacent. That's the point. You know, like they tell you need to leave, you just need to leave. Even though it's a pain in the butt and it's, you know, a hassle, you got to do what you got to do.
Well, when they tell you go out and vote and you don't, and you next thing you know, Mitt Romney's going to be your president.
Right.
Hey, you had your shot.
We've been trying to beat this into people's heads for how long without voting? Whew. You would think people would just finally get it, you know what I mean? You shouldn't have to keep saying it over and over and over and over again.
But I think, you know what, I hate to be optimistic, but I think this year it's going to happen. I think this year you're going to have people who are being silent, but they're going to go out there and vote. Now, I don't care what side they fall down on. Left, right, or somewhere in the middle. But I think America silently gets the repercussions of this election.
Well, you know, a mutual friend of ours in Ohio did her early voting, and she said the line was long, and there were a lot of young people and a lot of first-time voters. She's in Columbus, I think. So,
but is that a good thing for Ohio, younger people in Ohio?
Well, she works at a university, so they've been saying that college students are tracking for Obama. And Columbus is a bigger city, which
they're educated.
tends to be blue. So I don't know. I'm really worried about what Sandy's done with early voting in those areas that it hit.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
I'm worried about
next Tuesday, people being able to still get out and get to the polls. I'm concerned.
Well,
what they've done here in Maryland is they've
added another day, because early voting was supposed to start today, so they moved it because of the storm. And I think they've done that in other jurisdictions as well.
Well, I'm worried about Virginia, because Virginia has been on the bubble. I mean, you know, New Jersey, New York, they're going for Obama. Delaware is going for Obama. Maryland will probably go for Obama. But,
definitely,
you know, Virginia, that's been – Virginia and North Carolina have been switching every day from exactly tied to leaning Romney.
Yeah, North Carolina was a big win in 08. But the way my scientific poll has – work this out, Obama can lose Virginia and win Ohio, and that'll be enough with the rest of the blue states. Virginia,
he has to get Pennsylvania, which usually that's been going blue, but that's still one that could kind of be iffy.
Right, and we know that it's the big cities in these states, the Northern Virginia area, Alexandria, Arlington, McLean, those areas of Virginia, if they go for Obama, since they're more densely populated, then that'll carry the state. Same thing with Pennsylvania. Philly can carry, if Obama can carry Philly, then he'll pretty much carry Pennsylvania.
Well, he'll definitely carry Philly. That's what I was saying. Yeah.
That's where the swing is going to happen. And I think they understand that. I think they understand that it's all a numbers game. I think they understand that in order to cover what they need to cover, they don't have to win every precinct in these states. They just have to win the ones where they're more densely populated, and more densely populated with you colored folk, and things will work out.
Well, I think I'm a little worried about this shady state that I live in, because Florida's another one that flip-flops, and they're saying it's leaning Romney right now, even though it went to President Obama in 2008. So I'm not sure if President Obama can rely on Florida this time around.
No, and Florida was a surprise for him in 08. They weren't expected to carry Florida. When it started trending toward Obama in 08, that was a bonus.
Yeah,
but he would have won the election even without Florida.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's good news, I guess, man. He doesn't really absolutely have to have it.
Well, I mean, look, trust me. I want him to win every state possible. And I want him to win states that he normally shouldn't win. But if he gets Iowa and Ohio, it's a wrap. Pennsylvania would be great. Virginia would be super great. But I don't think Romney's going to carry half the bubble states that they think he's going to carry. And I've said this a gillion times on this air and in the blog. I think hardcore Republicans who have core beliefs that they've believed all their Republican lives are going to question Romney's commitment to the things that he's supposed to be for, because he flips back and forth every day on what he wants to be partisan to. I mean,
that's still their better option. Even if he does flip-flop, if they're hardcore conservatives, he's still a better option for them than President Obama. So they would just be shooting themselves in the foot to not vote for him. Not that I'm trying to get votes for Romney. I'm just thinking logically.
Well, you know, I spoke to a friend who has lived in North Carolina for 9 years, and we've never talked politics before. And he said he had voted, and I jokingly said, well, I hope it's for Obama. He said, you know what, this time it was. He said, you know, I voted for McCain. I voted for Clinton. I voted for McCain. I voted for Bush. I voted for Clinton. I voted for Bush. And I said, well, do you consider yourself a Republican or an independent? He says, I kind of feel like an independent, but I often vote Republican. I said, well, what's different this time? And he said, for him, and by the way, he's white, 41, married with 2 kids. And he said, for him, it's the social issues. And his core friends, who all are Republicans, they are voting for Obama for the same reasons. It's not so much the economy for them, because his point was he thinks the presidents get too much credit for the economy, good or bad. You know, he thinks it's more of a world thing. And it's just straight to social issues. He's worried about gay rights, and he's worried about women's rights. So he marked the O.
Oh, that's good news.
Now, some Republicans that I have mentioned that to said, oh, well, you know, he's probably in, you know, the research triangle or something. I said he lives, you know, outside of Raleigh, I think. But to me, it doesn't matter where he lives. The point is, he is the demographic that Romney's going after.
he and his friends are that demographic. And regardless of whether they, you know, live in liberal Durham or liberal whatever, they still are not voting for Romney. Now,
right.
So how does that extrapolate? I don't know. There may be, you know, a handful of 15 white guys that out of the whole, you know, area that vote for Obama for that reason. But, you know, anecdotally, it was very surprising to me that it was a situation I had never heard before. You know, I had never heard of seemingly normal Republicans voting for Obama because of social issues.
Yeah, and I get that, and I think that, you know, I think part of that is brilliance of Obama, brilliance of his campaign, and brilliance of reality. You know, you don't have to be a hardcore social issues person, but when you see a presidential candidate who says he won't say how he feels about equal pay for women, he won't say how he feels about women's health issues, he won't say where he falls down on gay rights or any social issue. He won't say. And then you have someone who will say, you either vote against that person who won't say, or you vote for the person who will say. You know, it's better to dance with the devil you know than dance with the devil you don't.
But I thought Romney did speak about gay rights, and he's against gay marriage. He thinks it should be, you know, marriage between a man and a woman. And I don't know if he said he agreed with, the civil unions or not. But I thought he pretty much made his stance clear on that, on the whole gay marriage thing.
I don't think he's made
it clear
on that at all. And if anyone wants to call in and let me know differently, I'll accept what you proved to me. I don't think he's made a hardcore decision either way. I do know he has said he will repeal Roe v. Wade, but then he's also said he's for abortions if the health of the mother is in jeopardy. But he's also said rape and incest are not a reason to have an abortion, and that the health of the mother isn't a reason for abortion. So he's all over that one, but I don't
raise
his stance.
You can never trust what he says.
Look, all I know about Mitt Romney is he's consistently inconsistent.
I'm not familiar precisely with exactly what I said, but I stand by what I said, whatever it was. And and with regards to, I'll go back and take a look at what was said there.
Yep, that's him.
You know, so, you know, I don't care where you fall down on the line. If you listen to that and this is supposed to be your candidate, how can you be convinced that this man is going to care about what you care about? I mean, I know plenty of Democrats, plenty of friends of mine and some family members who don't support Obama's stance on gay marriage, but they understand that's his stance on gay marriage, but they support him on everything else. But he has a stance.
Right.
And if you have a man who doesn't have a stance, he's supposed to be the leader of the free world. You know, he's going to promise Israel something one day and the Palestinians something the next day, and then go back to the Israelis and say, I didn't say that?
Yeah,
he doesn't
even roll the dice.
The science of audio and videotape? I mean, this isn't 1945 anymore where you have to go dig back and see what someone wrote about what somebody said. This is 2012. There's audio and videotape.
Well, I guess it can be said for a lot of people that are planning to vote for Mitt Romney that it's really more of a vote against President Obama than so more than anything, because they're just disappointed in, you know, what, like the state of the economy and things that President Obama has not been able to do. So they just feel like they have to go with Romney just because they don't want to do four more years of what we've had. So I think that may be true for a lot of people.
And, you know, four more years, and I'll call it like this, and I hate to sound racist, but there are people out there that don't want four more years of a black man in the White House.
Absolutely.
Plain and simple.
They didn't want him for the first 4 years.
Right. And they'll vote against their best interest to have him be there.
And they are doing everything they can to suppress the vote. You know, those stupid billboards up in Wisconsin that they trace back to a wealthy white family that is not the Koch brothers, by the way. You know, same billboards popping up in Ohio, you know, voter fraud is illegal, you know, and it's a black person, a picture of a black person or a picture of a Hispanic person, and then, you know, judge gavel in some bars. Oh, that's not aimed at anybody, and they're popping up in urban neighborhoods. And then all those shenanigans that the Secretary of State of Ohio was pulling to stop early voting. It's ridiculous.
Ohio,
and
that,
what about this
that
whole voting machine thing being purchased by, like, Romney's, one of his sons? And
yeah, his son owns voting machines. But I don't
know.
This,
you know what?
Was this another one?
That story was a little suspect because they were saying that, you know, he was going to try and do something about the vote in Washington State. And we vote strictly by mail. So I was like, well, what are they trying to do? And that ain't going to affect us none. So
y'all don't actually
really
go
sure
to the polls?
Not anymore. The last time we went to the polls was 2008. Me and the kids all voted for Obama at the same time. And said a prayer and, you know, gave thanks to our ancestors that have passed. And we all held a pin together while I bubbled it in. And that was the last in-person voting we did. And then Washington and Oregon went first. Oregon went completely mail first. And now Washington went completely mail. And that's another thing. You know, all this crap about voter fraud and this, that, and the other. We vote by mail. We vote completely by mail, and there has not been one case of voter fraud. And that would be easy to do because, you know, you're not providing the ID for somebody to visually compare to, your signature is on file. And that's, you know, if they have an issue with it, they check it. But there has not been one case in 100% of mail-in voting. So that's why this voter fraud nonsense the right keeps trying to pull is just that nonsense. If a whole state of 3 million people, you know, a million of which are of voting age, can vote from their homes with no evidence of voter fraud, then anybody can. And Oregon doesn't have any evidence of voter fraud either, and they've been voting by mail longer than we have.
Yeah. Yeah, and then where is it where the guy, polling company hired the guy who was running around destroying ballots? Republicans?
Yeah. The same people who, under a different name, committed voter fraud last time.
Yeah, but they're quick to bring up Acorn. Acorn was signing Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck on the petitions, which is not voter fraud, that's voter registration fraud or voter registration indifference.
Sure, I wrote in Mickey Mouse once.
Did you write in Mickey Mouse or did you dress like Mickey Mouse? Because there's some things about
everybody in
knows
Mouse.
Yet.
There's definitely going to be some shenanigans. I think the George Bush Al Gore election, I mean, that was shenanigans. I think it's definitely going to be some shenanigans this time around, because people are desperate and it's going to be tense and it's a lot at stake, and I'm just expecting them to do anything, like pull all kinds of little tricks. Maybe I'm just being paranoid, but that I'm bracing myself for the foolishness.
Girl, if you paranoid, I'm paranoid, because I called my doctor today to refill my Xanax, and I've restocked the wine cellar.
Oh God, here she is again on the wine again.
Oh, Lord, she'll miss the whole election night. Don't start drinking before the states start coming in. You'll miss it.
No.
We'll watch her slowly.
Well, we're going to be doing a six-hour show next week. We're going to follow the returns until, I think, 1 a.m. your time. So I'm not going to be getting drunk. Hopefully I don't have to get drunk. But I might just get drunk. I might be drunk in celebration.
See what I have to live with?
Lord Jesus. But you know what? I'm going to call both of y'all, so we'll be drunk together.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I don't hope that I don't have to drink. I hope I don't have to take a Xanax, because then I can't drink. But I just really don't want to take a Xanax.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I just know. I can feel my blood pressure going up, and I can feel an anxiety attack coming on. They're going to jack up Florida, or they're going to jack up Ohio. One of the
other. Yeah, I think it's going to be Ohio this time around. Usually it's Florida, but I have a feeling Ohio is going to be the state that the drama unfolds. I don't know why. I just feel like it's going to be Ohio.
It was Ohio last time.
Well, I can't predict what the results will be, but I am 95% sure that Fox News is going to call Ohio for Obama to 15 seconds after. I mean, call Ohio for Romney 15 seconds after the polls close.
Get everybody all riled up.
Yep. I can see Hannity now.
Oh God. Well,
but
I tried early. I was thinking about early voting today, but the line was too long. I never early vote. I always vote on election day. And I was just thinking maybe I should just go ahead and try to early vote because it is still hurricane season. You never know what Mother Nature might be planning and plotting. So I'm going to try again
tomorrow.
Take
a picture of your ballot. You live in Florida. Take a picture of your ballot. I am not kidding. So when they
I'm not going
to
early vote because I want to go into the poll talking trash.
I want to be there. You just want to walk up talking smack.
Yeah. As I said before, and I've said to people, I did this in 08, I'll do it again. I'll go in like Will Smith and Ali. The champ is here. And I want to see people go, him again.
Well, I may end up waiting. Then I don't know. I don't know if I should just because I've never early voted. So I'm like, maybe I don't want to jinx myself. Maybe I should just wait. And I've been lucky that I never have to wait in like a long line where I vote. So I'm thinking maybe I'll just wait. But then I'm like, no. But then with all the all the drama and craziness, maybe I should just go ahead and lock my vote in. So I don't know. I figured I'll drive past again tomorrow on my way home and see what the line looks like. And if it's reasonable, I'll probably just park and go ahead and vote.
Now, what kind of district do you live in? Is it a blue district?
Miami Beach, I think, is generally a Democratic district. For the most part, it's a heavily Jewish area.
The lines have been
Hispanic.
Long.
Hispanic.
Huh? Is it as good the lines have been long?
Yeah, definitely. But I have noticed a few interesting driving around Miami. I've noticed a few billboards that I guess it's like the Republican Jewish Coalition. They've been putting up a lot of anti-Obama billboards because they don't like his stance with Israel and how he's dealt with the whole Israel situation. So you've got that hardcore group too.
But you know what? I think what's more important to the American Jews that live in your area is not the relationship with Israel, but Medicare.
Because there's a lot of older people. That's true.
I think that's
then you have a big Cuban population here, and they're heavily Republican. So for the most, some of the younger ones aren't going that hard Republican like their elders. But you know, a lot of the Cubans, especially the ones that came over, you know, back in the 60s and 70s and 80s, they're heavily Republican. So it's a weird mix here. It's a very weird mix.
Jeb spoke Spanish, but you don't have a Republican. I've never even heard Romney speak Spanish, and his father was supposedly born in Mexico.
His son speaks it. He'll send Tag out there to speak Spanish.
Now is it Tag,
he's already been down here.
Is it Tag, Trig, or Algebra? Which one of his sons is?
Tag, I don't know which one speaks Spanish, but Tag is the one who wanted to punch President Obama. That's all I know about him.
And what is with these names? What was Palin's kid's name? Didn't Palin have a kid named Tag or Trig or
Trig? Well, and Trap, his grandson named Trap. And then
yeah,
all these weird.
Well, Mitt's name is Mitt, so being named Mitt and having a son named Tag really doesn't concern me.
Actually, but his name is Willard.
Yeah, his real name is Willard Mitt.
Yes, Willard Mitt. Either, I mean, you know, but it's not like Mitt is his nickname. His name, M-I-T-T.
Right.
Now, what does that say that he chooses to go by Mitt instead of Willard? I would have picked Willard myself and just say, hey, yo, call me Will.
Right, but, you know, one of the things I think is important is I want his son, Tag, to marry a woman named Shaniqua and name their child Taniqua.
Oh, my God. That ain't ever going to happen. I'm sure there's something in their religious doctrine that he can never marry a woman named Shaniqua.
Well, you know, the one of the things in their religion was that you colored folks were not really a full person.
Oh, it says that in the is the Mormon doctrine like the Bush doctrine? I mean, is it like an actual, like, manifest, that, you know what I'm saying? Like an actual real...
The Church of Latter-day Saints, the Book of Mormon, did not allow for blacks to be considered full citizens or full humans for a while, and it wasn't until the 70s, like 75, 76, before blacks were allowed to be members of the clergy or in leadership roles in the church.
Wow.
But now they happily accept all you little coloreds.
You know what? I don't trust him at all. When he says he's not racist, I don't trust him. Because
we're all racist.
Because, okay, you know, he says he doesn't believe in the church doctrine, blah, 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 blah. But look at who he surrounds himself with. When you look at his business partners and people who worked with him at the firm, you don't see one brown face among them.
Or any women.
Or any
no.
females either. Even in his own family. You know, there's no interracial. There's no Asian. There's no Hispanic. It's just white, 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 white. I don't believe him.
Well, you know, if he had a binder full of women, he definitely had a loose leaf full of niggers. Or a spiral
yeah.
bound of darkies.
I definitely don't think that he's a tolerant, you know, a tolerant man in that respect. I just don't. I don't see it at all because he's so. I mean, he's got so much money and probably the circles that he travels around. He doesn't come across a lot of black people. You know, he just doesn't, and he doesn't make an effort to really be around not only just black people but probably other minorities as well. I just don't see it.
Well. It'll all come out soon enough because I think America would be doing itself a disservice in the world community as well as nationally by electing this man. I don't see how he brings anything to the table in the way of truthfulness or conviction of purpose. And that'll show. It showed in 2001. When George W. Bush spent 5 weeks on his farm in Texas while his government was being put together and while he was running around the country doing school book tours and reading to children and, you know, in September 11th when the country was attacked and then he was forced to become a president.
Yeah.
I see the same thing happening with Romney. Because it's the same people. It's the same people. His staff is made up of 75% of people who worked for the Bush administration.
Frightening.
So let's get off politics. Let's talk about something more interesting and exciting. How about the World Series that just ended?
Are you kidding me?
I'm trying.
Yeah, I have some people call in for that because I can't even help you with that.
I knew I was going nowhere. It was either going to be that or movies, and I know little TL, you know.
I know you didn't just say, let's talk about something exciting, the World Series.
Exactly.
If you do that, I will talk about feminine products.
Oh, God.
And once again, you try to put your junk into the story. See, this is what I'm from. See, I always get accused of talking about your junk, but you sneak in stuff about your junk, where the conversation has to go about your junk. I'm not trying to talk about your junk.
I wasn't talking about my junk. I said feminine products. My junk is not feminine products.
But I think your junk occasionally uses feminine products.
But I wasn't going to talk about what my junk uses and does not use. I can talk about feminine products without personalizing it. My point being, we're not talking about the World Series. I will shoot myself in the head or talk about feminine products. You choose.
Okay. So look, we have a caller from area code 804. Hopefully a caller has something better to talk about than feminine products. Hello, caller from area code 804.
Hi, yo. Hi, Kamal.
Lindsay!
Hey.
How you doing, girl?
Listen, we're loving listening to you guys talk about all the politics. So I'm sorry if I'm going to break you away from your new topic of choice.
That's okay. Did you keep my baby safe and warm?
Oh, yeah, we're totally fine. We didn't even have a power outage, which is really odd for us.
Oh,
really
yeah.
Odd for us.
Before is Lower Virginia, right?
Yeah, we're in Richmond, Virginia, right in central Virginia.
So are you voting out cancer?
Am I what?
Voting out cancer? Isn't he in your district?
Oh, yeah, cancer. Yeah, yeah, we're definitely voting against him, but he's probably going to stay. He's been pretty solid for a long time. But one of the things I wanted to ask about is when I think about the Republicans in the Deep South, because I grew up in Georgia, I can always or usually hang up some of my friends on the idea of women's rights. Because a lot of the Republicans want their party to steer away from this really, not necessarily anti-abortion, but they just don't want that topic being tied to them all the time. And as I am trying to explain this topic to my kids, and I was listening to what you were saying, Kamal, about taking your kids into the voting booth, what do you say to your daughters about the pro-choice issue?
Well, you know, the one that is most receptive to it is actually the youngest, and she's, you know, Katie's 9.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just explain things to them just straight up. I say, you know, this is, you know, I explain my medical history and the problems that I had conceiving and staying pregnant. And that, you know, I said that I had to have several abortions. And I explained to them what an abortion was, and I said, because, you know, it was risking my life, so we had to do this, which makes you more of a miracle, blah, blah, blah. And I explained to them what an abortion was, why a person may find themselves in that position, but ultimately, it's her decision, like it was my decision, and by extension, Daddy's decision, to do what we did. And they get that. They understand, well, she understands that, you know, her body is hers. And when she's old enough to have to make these life-changing decisions, it's between her and her partner and God. And nobody should be in the middle of that, especially, you know, some politician in Washington.
Wait a minute. So you're saying you're letting your daughter have sex?
No.
Are you out of your mind? Are you out of your mind?
I am not supportive of people allowing their daughters to ever have sex.
No, she believes that you get pregnant by kissing, and we're keeping it that way for a long time.
Long time.
Ever, Gail, or just at a certain age? Like,
my sister is 45 years old. She's given me two nephews whom I love dearly. but she's only had sex twice in her marriage, and that was to conceive the two children that are
right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
and even then, she didn't like it. She didn't like it.
Everybody on this phone knows how the sex talk went with Katie because we talked about it. I told her, I tried to explain the birds and the bees, and I ended up just saying, stay away from penises. That talk did not go well. I got flustered. I said, you know what, just stay away from penises. But, you know, when it comes to her rights as a childbearing human, you know, I've explained to her what, you know, what that's about, what she can expect, and that it's her choice. And, you know, and some the older girls, you know, they get these little things, I think they're horrific things on Facebook, you know, these letters from a dead fetus and abortion is murder. And they're young and they don't, you know, they're impressionable. And I explain to them, again, my medical history and what I had to go through. And they get it and they understand that it's not murder. It's not something heinous. It's something that sometimes has to happen for whatever reason. And, you know, like I said, it's between her and her partner and God and her medical team. It's nobody else's business.
You know, and I definitely get that. I think that the honest approach is the best. But I was trying to explain to my daughter when she was hearing one of, I think it was Eric Cantor's commercials, and really just saying, you know, it was really one woman taking
the oldest,
down.
The oldest, the middle, or the youngest? Well, the youngest wouldn't matter. The older or the middle?
The middle, eight.
Middle.
It was a commercial about a woman taking down another woman, kind of putting another woman down in this way. And I was trying to explain to her, you know, there hasn't always been times in our history where women had rights to decide anything about their body, to decide who they were going to marry and that kind of stuff. And kids, they don't really understand that that's not that far in the past. It's like when Willow, my 12-year-old, wears those peace sign shirts, they have no idea what that peace sign's about, you know?
Yeah. Well, have you thought about talking to her like on a level that she understands, you know? Like, what if every single time you wanted to go potty, you couldn't because the governor says women aren't allowed to go potty?
Another thing that I said to Angeline was that that the politicians use women fighting. They kind of use women against each kind of like a divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm.
In by using the pro-choice issue. I don't know, Yael, do you have any opinions? I didn't want to turn it
no,
into
no,
one
I'm
hour.
Just estrogen in on the show.
That's why he wants to
talk about
the World
Series.
I need some.
And once again, the Larson girls
okay.
are in stereo.
But to me in Virginia, with the kind of commercials that they're playing now, it's really a divide and conquer issue.
Well, yeah, if they split the vote, then they win by, as you said, clearly, if they split the vote, then they win. But you do understand that there are some women who blindfully follow whatever their male authoritarian figure tells them to do.
Yeah. Did you know that Eric Cantor's wife is pro-choice?
Yes, well, I know Eric Cantor's. And Eric Cantor's wife and mother-in-law are Democrat.
Yeah.
You know what? Somebody needs to pull her aside because she ain't doing her job. She needs to close the cookie jar for a good minute.
Here we go. How do you know?
He straightens up and flies right. I'm not playing. You want some of what? Chuck, you better keep it moving.
See,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
What bill are you trying to get passed? Oh, okay. Clink, clink. Ching, ching, done. You're done.
Though I don't think this is the case, how do you know Eric Cantor ain't laying it down so hard that she's like, whatever you say, baby, whatever you say? Because personally, I think.
I can look at him and tell that he's not.
Yeah,
doing
I
that.
Do. I think he's in the closet. I think, you know, I think he wears women's underwear to work. I think, you know. But it's possible.
Look, you know what? I don't know. I don't know what kind of junk he's got. But there comes a time for woman solidarity. And this is it. This is it. Because, I mean, why are you trying to pass laws that are going to impact your own wife?
Right.
Nope. He wouldn't get none for the foreseeable future. Unless it's from his gay boyfriend. But you didn't hear that from me.
But look, but you do raise an interesting point, and I do want to follow up on it. And I've said this for years, and I apologize for being stereotyping what I'm about to say. But one of the things I've always believed is that, by and large, Black women are raised to be independent, have independent thought, and have the ability to take care of themselves and not need a man to define who they are. And not to say that white women are different, but I
right,
know...
Right, because you know what? Lindsay is hardcore. So I'm just saying.
Okay. But for the most part, white women are raised, when they get married, to go along with their husband.
Lindsay, he definitely don't know you.
That's why I didn't get married in Georgia. I would say I could see that for sure.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and nothing is absolute, you know, but I know plenty of Black men who will date or have married white women for the simple reason that what they say becomes law because they're the head of the household. And most Black women ain't going for that.
Mm. Well, my guess says dating a Black woman is like dating a parole officer. That's what the comedian talks about. It's just like dating a parole officer. When you walk in the door, where you been?
What time you leaving? What time you coming back? What you going to do while you're out there? And by the way, bring back some milk when you get in here, and it better be cold. Don't come in here with no warm milk because I know you've been doing something you ain't got to be doing. But I think that's the case with Eric Cantor. I don't think his wife is going to stand up for herself or her own beliefs.
Well, you know what, Lindsay? You need to find Becky Cantor's name, number, email address. So I can bend
her
ear for
a minute.
Becky,
or you just made it up?
I just made it up. So I don't know what the woman's name is.
I know it ain't Tag. I know that much.
Or Trig.
Or Trig.
Well,
but I bet if she goes into a Black beauty parlor, it'll be Trick. Look, Trick, let me tell you something.
Well, Lindsay, I hope you're able to talk to number two, little girl, and get her to understand what's going on. And I hope you survive this election in your very red district.
We will. We will survive. You know,
let me just offer this as some help for you. And this is what I've done with my son. If you start showing your daughters movies from the 50s and you know, pictures of how women were supposed to dress and how they're supposed to act back in those days and, you know, beyond the 40s, 50s, you know, go back to the 30s and show them things and show them that regardless of what their level of comfort was, they were required to dress this way or act this way, and now you have the ability to have freedom of your own thought. You know,
and you can go potty when you want to.
Go potty where you want to. For me, with my son, I showed him some stuff about Jim Crow laws and how things were in the 60s and what someone he can actually reach out and touch his mother, his grandmother, his great-grandmother, what they had to endure for him to understand that how lucky he is today.
Right.
To be able to do certain things. Because it's hard for kids to sometimes connect. You know, you can say, you know, you can tell me today what slavery was like, and I'm like, yeah, okay, but it had to be rough. I know it was rough. It could, but I don't know anyone that lived through it. But
right.
I know people who actually struggled in the civil rights movement. I know people who actually were hit upside the head with clubs and chased by dogs. And, you know, I know people who went through that, and I can talk to them and let them tell me. So if you can tell her or show her your parents or maybe a grandparent, I don't know who you have in your life, who could say, you know, back when I was a girl, this is the bathing suits we were required to wear on the beach, where it came down to my ankles and up to my neck. And if it weighed 60 pounds, I was still supposed to swim in this thing. But now,
I can wear a bikini.
Well, yeah, but not a bikini, because I don't think anybody's daughter should be allowed to wear a bikini, because that could lead to them having sex.
Oh God, I'm actually not that far off a disagreement with you on that one.
I am a no bikini mom too.
What is that?
I say no bikinis too.
Right, no bikinis ever.
I don't think you have that problem in Seattle though, Kamal.
No, right? No,
yeah, but don't think the middle one ain't tried it. We fought all summer long. All summer long. Because she talked my mother into letting her buy one. I was cheated.
Did she really? Oh, Lynn, you're in trouble.
Yes, she did. Now, as bikini goes, it wasn't, it was more of a tankini, you know, went, you know, just above her belly button. But I still wasn't happy. I wasn't happy at all. And was sitting there trying to get a little suntan. I said, I didn't know because she didn't show it to me. We went out the RV, and I said, what the? I said, if you don't bring your little ass in here right now, and she's like, what I do? And you know I curse at my kids. I said, take that shit off right now. You are not wearing that. And then I got her a T-shirt and some shorts and some socks. Now you can go outside.
Yeah, see, burlap sack that ties at the waist is good for me for a child under the age of 30.
Well, I will say that I had a conversation with a conservative woman the other day, and she wanted to know what I liked about Obamacare. And I told her that the pre-existing clause is really important to our family because we have asthma, you know, little issues like that, that if we get hosed on with our insurance, we're really paying out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's probably the most directly impactful thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
But there was another friend of mine who had gone through chemotherapy for breast cancer, and she was on the fence. She was really kind of concerned about Obama healthcare because the doctors in our area are so against it.
Well,
it was very scary to her.
What I understand from what I've heard from people in the medical profession and people who deal people in the medical profession, one of the reasons that they're against Obamacare is because they're going to lose a stream of income from the insurance companies. And they find that very scary.
Mm-hmm.
But I am of the belief that when one door closes, another one will open, so that stream will just be redirected. But having recently lived through someone dying from breast cancer, who thank God had good health insurance, I know what she would have gone through and how she would have suffered if she didn't have good health care provided by her job, and what Obamacare would have meant to her if she didn't. So, you know, if your doctor tells you they don't like it, they're not going to tell you they don't like it because they don't think they're going to get paid. they're going to give you all the reasons why they don't think it's good, but they will adjust. You know, that pre-existing condition thing is huge because I'm asthmatic. My son is diabetic and asthmatic. And that worries me when I change jobs and have to, you know, go, you know, through a new medical plan. But I just believe what was said, you know, when this whole debate came up. No one should go broke from being sick. And no
also for me, you know, it's not just the pre-existing conditions. It's being able to keep my child on my health care, you know, till she's 26. Because, you know, I remember getting sick when I was, you know, out of college and, you know, trying to start a job, you know, mm-hmm. working 20 hours somewhere, and ended up with medical bills of like $17,000.
Yeah, well, I've been working real grown-up people jobs since I was 1920, and always had good health care, luckily. But that 26 thing is huge.
It's huge. I did not get a real-world job with real-world benefits until I was 24, and I was working at in the college system.
I think that's true for me. The day that I graduated from college, my parents said, where's your proof of insurance? And I was like, what? And they said, you got to have major medical and you need it by tomorrow. And luckily, I had a friend whose mom sold it, and she sold me a policy that night. And so I just went through, I don't know, like 3 years with just major medical. And so you had to pay a lot of stuff out of pocket. But
that was
my mom,
smart of your parents.
My mom and I were talking about recently, and she said, could you afford to keep all your kids on your insurance till they're 26? I'm like, I'm not certain we could do that. That would be a lot to take young adults on your insurance. I'm not sure how that I understand that it's there. It's you have a right now to have it there if you need it.
If you need it. That's the thing that's
but
not.
But would it be any different than them being on your policies now?
Well, we'd be hopefully close to retirement. You know?
It depends on the job.
Yeah, I'm not going to be retired. I don't think I'll be retired by then.
26, 43.
Yeah, you do the math. You know, math is hard. Oh, I know how old would be, 25. Okay, that was easy.
I'm not sure about that. You know, but it's there if you need it, and that's what's important. You have an option.
Exactly. That's the option. That's the thing. It's the option. It's not emphasized enough. I know why the Republicans don't emphasize it. I don't know why the Democrats aren't emphasizing it. It's the option that is there if you need it.
And isn't it funny that people don't disavow Obamacare because of these, you know, the major parts of it. They don't disavow it. They'll say, you know, well, we'll do something like that later. But it's only Democrats that bring about change. And, you know, we have to force it. But we're the only ones who actually bring about any change to policy. You know, to bad, sucky policy. But once
hey,
it's done.
Right. Democrats, and I'm not I'm not going to say we because I'm an independent that just leans.
Oh, please. Your position is my big go.
Mostly. But I would, but hey, you know what? I'll call it like it is. In 2000, I was on McCain's ticket. You know, I was fully for McCain in 2000.
What?
Yeah.
Ouch.
McCain was
Why?
Talking good stuff in 2000. I don't know what happened. He lost his mind in 2008. But in 2000, he was talking some pretty progressive stuff. Some pretty common sense progressive stuff. And, I mean, ultimately, when he lost the primary to Bush, I went back to Gore. But Yeah, I'm not everything Democratic and for it. Because, you know, I believe that, you know, the right to bear arms is almost as important as it is the right to arm bears. So I have my weapons.
Right,
and
but
I
intend- that's not anti-Democratic. There's
no,
plenty
but that's...
of Democrats who believe in the Second Amendment rights.
Yeah,
I do.
Democratic speak, you know, they don't talk about, oh yeah, you have the right to arm yourself and protect yourself, and you know, so I come down on a lot of different sides, but I'm a common sense kind of guy. So when someone says to me Obamacare is bad because it's going to cost XXX, that tells me you're against Obamacare because, one, you're stupid, and two, you don't see the benefit that it will pay you in your life, in your quality of life down the line. You don't care about the fact that your health insurance costs will go down because you're no longer taking care of the idiot who went windsurfing in a hurricane on your medical. You just care about the fact that it's going to cost so much, and where were you screaming about cost when George Bush was advocating two wars without paying for them and a senior medical prescription plan that wasn't being paid for? You know, all of a sudden you got religion now because you see something with a price tag attached to it that someone is actually attempting to pay.
Yeah.
The heck with the fact that it's going to help people and help yourself. You know, just like Lindsay said, you know, when you don't argue the positive points of what could happen, you just want to emphasize the negative and why it shouldn't happen, you're not thinking for your own best interest. And I see these people in the Deep South, and I consider Richmond the Deep South, and Georgia and Mississippi and Alakansas and all the rest of them. When you see these people who say they're against Obamacare because how much it's going to cost the government, Obamacare is going to take care of you when you cut your finger off with your bandsaw while you're making a sawed-off shotgun so you can impress your cousin, sister, girlfriend.
Great foolishness.
You know, and that's where they lose me. I just don't think a country as great as this country is supposed to be should be lacking any other country as far as health care.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I think there's too many people. I know of situations where people, again, to get back on the idiot stuff, who will go out and into the great national parks of this country and, you know, slap a sleeping bear when the bear turns around and eats them, will end up in the hospital with a major medical bill and want to sue the government because they can't afford to pay it themselves. I mean, that's just
right.
That's retarded, and that's what people do. And then they go, oh, well, Obamacare is going to cost too much. Well, Obamacare might eventually save your arm when you do something stupid. But that's just my take.
Well, you know, I mean, you and I have talked. My biggest concern is the down ballot. And I'm just praying that we can flip the House and keep the majority in the Senate and hopefully get some of his more progressive ideas passed through. I mean, it's going to be tough with this particular Senate. You know, maybe if we can make some inroads in 2014 and get a bigger majority in the Senate and keep a majority in the House, we can push through some really, really progressive stuff. Got my fingers crossed.
Yeah, we just can't wait this time. We can't. I kind of felt like Obama tried really hard to make everybody happy, to kind of appease people. And I don't think that everybody realized the urgency. Like, we need to slam this stuff through when we have the opportunity.
Yeah, we do need to slam it through, but he can only slam through so much if he can't get support, you know? I mean,
right.
Nancy Pelosi,
that's
when
she was saying, she had a majority in the House, a majority in Congress, they didn't act on a lot of things because they thought they had time.
Right.
But I think I've talked to Republicans, hardcore Republicans, that say the same thing. They're a little disappointed in the Congress that we have today as well, and they understand that Congress is a big part of the problem. And as I've said on this air before, this is the only time in the history of this nation where a president was elected in a time of crisis and you had a Congress that was dead set against working with him for the betterment of the country, own self-interest be damned.
Exactly.
And you can call it whatever you want to call it. I say because he has the nerve to have a policy where he's a black man that they're dead set against him.
I definitely think there's something to that. I do. Because a lot of these people come from areas where the constituents are just flabbergasted. They can't believe that the president of their country is a black man.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've had 3 years to really let it sink in.
But they don't. It's because it's sunk in. They don't like it. They're fighting it.
I mean, my goodness. What time do they need?
And, you know, me and TL, we talked about this briefly. You know, I'm a little scarier now than I was before if he gets, you know, if he wins. Because I think that these 3 years, some people haven't been getting used to it. They've been festering over it.
Mm-hmm.
I worry that we're going to have, you know, John Kennedy, Abraham Lincoln outcomes.
And then I worry about the country because people will definitely, like, it will be total and complete chaos. It's not going to be pretty or something. You know, an attempt like that is ever made. It's not going to be a good situation.
Well, I think, you know, it's brushed under the carpet, but I think there have been more than a few incidents where people have plotted, but the plots have been uncovered early enough.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, the lone gunman theory. The only real lone gunman that I really believe in is the one that shot Reagan, Hinckley, because he was straight up nutsy cuckoo. But I think when people get these ideas in their head, they have to go out and tell somebody or conspire, and loose lips sink ships. And I really think people are ratting each other out, but if someone pulls a trigger, and, you know, Lindsay, I don't know what you've seen in Richmond, and I don't know if Kamal or Lil TL have had the opportunity to see it where they live, but living in the Baltimore area, working in Washington, D.C., I've seen the presidential motorcade. My mother, if she ever calls back in, will tell you when she was up in Martha's Vineyard when Clinton was there. That is some impressive stuff happening when the presidential protection detail comes in and sweeps now, and the things they do before, during, and after a presidential visit.
Right.
It would be really hard for someone to get close enough to do what Hinckley did or be able to take a shot like Lee Harvey Oswald.
You don't have to be close. I've seen shooters. You could be a mile away.
Nah, you're going to have to be more than a mile. You're going to have to be more than a mile. Maybe, you know, for the election next week, we'll discuss how they...
Oh, my gosh, I can't believe it's next week.
Yeah, uh-huh. And remember, we're going to be on the air for 6 hours. And I'm not going to drink one little thing of wine. Not one.
Not one. Two maybe, but not one.
Or three, maybe three.
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's hope it doesn't go into, like, the next day.
Oh,
well,
Lord Jesus.
Listen, because we'll watch her sink into the depths of her own lack of sobriety.
Right.
Just remember, boys and girls, next week.
All right. Big... Good night, you guys.
Good night. Love you. Kiss the babies and the husbands.
Love you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Let Mitt Romney kill Big Bird. Oscar the Grouch. Oh, Tickle Me Elmo will die.
Yeah, because Elmo is a black man.
Be toe tag me, Elmo. Good night, everyone.
Night.